In this week's episode, goalkeeper Troy Bolters speaks about Cape Town City's incredible season so far, his future as his contract with the club is coming to an end, as well as his Bafana Bafana hopes. He also takes part in our PSL quiz, but first, he tells us three interesting things about himself.
Yes, I actually did work. I worked for Nashua as a copier and printer technician for 5 years. As a semi-professional footballer that time, you needed another income. You actually gave me an idea. Now, yes, I am actually quicker than some of the players in my squad. I don't want to mention their names, but it's according to facts, over 40 meters, Stellenbosch Sports Science Institute. You can go and check it up over there. That's another one. And the third thing I think a lot of people don't know is that I actually have two kids and not one child.
Perfect. And then as we go now in the more formal part of the interview, obviously you're having a great season. We can see you just made the La Duma team of the week for the third time.
Yeah, for the third time. I needed you to emphasize that part for the third time. Okay.
Very close to making the team of the season.
Yes.
If you continue in this form. So with you being born in Cape Town, was it an easy decision for you when the club decided to relocate to the Western Cape?
Yes, David, at first it was. I think I wanted to come back to Cape Town. Sometime in my life, I wanted to play for a Cape Town club, especially in the PSL, because I've never done that. My first PSL contract was Bloemfontein Celtic, and I've just moved further and further away from Cape Town. So, yes, it was. It was one of my goals and one of my objectives and one of my dreams to play for a club in Cape Town.
And during the move, we heard that obviously you were one of the older players in the squad, and you were quite influential figure also in motivating maybe some of the other players to come to Cape Town. How did you see your own role during this whole process?
I never expected it, but when I met up with the boss, John, right at the beginning, he did ask just, you know, he was a bit nervous, I think, knowing that there was quite a few players that were maybe reluctant to move. And I said, look, I will obviously do it, because I also needed as much as of the core of the players, or as much as the players that they wanted to come to Cape Town to come. And I knew that if I could make it a little bit easier for the club and for the team itself, I would do it, because that's the type of person that I am, and the team will always come first. So, yeah, I called quite a few players, and I don't want to say I convinced them, but I think I made the ones that were on the fence, I made them go over the fence and say, okay, Cape Town is where they needed to be as well.
Awesome. And despite your involvement, obviously a few players stayed behind, so you started the season with a relatively slim squad and a few new faces. So what were sort of your expectations as players in the beginning of the season?
I think maybe there was maybe a miscommunication there, but we relocated with all the players that was under contract, according to my knowledge. One or two maybe, I think Noniani was one of them, our left back of last season. Other than that, I think we came with all the players that were contracted. It was small, I think we were 13 or 14 at the time. I had 120% confidence that whoever the technical team was going to bring in was going to do a good enough job, and I think it's proven now that it was whoever they brought in was obviously great signings, and it was great for the team.
And throughout this remarkable run so far in the season, you have drawn Kaizer Chiefs and Pirates away, you've beaten Sundowns away, and Wits as well, so the great results against the top teams in the league. Do you think these performances and results sort of prove that you are true contenders for the PSL title?
Not at all. You're never going to be a contender for the league by just beating the top teams, because you don't need any motivation. Your bosses are like the happiest people in the world when they know you're playing Pirates and Chiefs. Your coaches are the happiest people because they know each and every player is motivated. Every player wants to be in the team. Leagues are won by consistency. Leagues are won by beating Baraka, which we lost to at home. So that is where we need to improve, which is a good thing. Are we league contenders? If you're going to ask me that, I would like to think so. But for me, it's like one game at a time. And Leicester City has proven that last season, not by saying we're going to win the league, by saying we're contenders, just taking one game at a time. That is it. So are we league contenders? Yes. Are we league contenders by beating Pirates, Sundowns and Wits? No. Yeah, to put it in a nutshell.
That makes complete sense. But obviously you already celebrated a big success in the Telkom Knockout competition, which you won. Would you consider this as your personal highlight of the season so far?
Definitely myself. As an objective to myself, it's been an amazing feeling. I think I'm still getting goosebumps now just talking about the Telkom. Definitely one of my highlights in my career. I think we've shown that continuity is also good. When you look at a lot of clubs that have players maybe 1 or 2 years playing together, which our core of our team, as we're in our second year together, the club is a brand new club. Everybody knows that, but the team and the core. If you look at the players that are doing well, if you look at how in sync they are, it is shown that they've played together for a long time. If you look at Aubrey Ngoma, Manyama, Masina, Majora's an experienced player, so that's why he'll be able to fit in and understand because he's a new addition. But you can see that in syncness, you can see that combination, and that is just continuity. And I think a lot of our success is to do with the boss now, John, the technical team with leading by Coach Eric, but also starting 2 years ago for me. That's what the way I look at it.
And how do you see like Eric Tinkler's role in this obviously brilliant run this season? I mean, from an outside perspective, not a lot of people were expecting you to be this successful. Now he comes in. As you said, the squad has been together for 2 seasons, but also new players came in, and now all of a sudden you lead the table, you win the Telkom Knockout.
That's why I said right at the beginning, you have to give credit to the boss, to the technical team, and to the coach for the selections, for the additions, because it could have gone it could have gone sideways, or it could have gone backwards, where you're adding 10 players to an original core of 14, and they're not complementing one another, and they're not gelling. So that's why I say a lot of credit also has to go to the technical team, the backroom staff, of the players that they've identified and said, okay, this one will complement him, and this one will complement that, and they will bring value to the team, and this player will. And all that combination, and the coach himself, just being more, I'm not going to say a player's coach, more a Jurgen Klopp. You can see he interacts, you know, he interacts with his players, but he's also hardworking, and he also understands the game, which I think is a good combination. And we as African players, or as players all around, you always want a well-balanced coach, whereas he's tactically good, but also good as a man manager. And I think in the local coaches, Eric is probably in the top three as the well-balanced coaches, tactically and man managers, both very good.
And obviously, apart from the success, your current contract with Cape Town City, I believe, is running out by the end of the season, and you are now in the latter stages of your career. Obviously, 35, you can still play a few seasons, given the shape that you're in. But what's the current situation around your future?
Well, the current situation is that we're in contract negotiations at the moment with the club. It's ongoing. Yeah, I had a conversation with my friend Andre Ardens last week regarding that, and he pulled off. I could already see him when I was speaking to him on the phone, the way his face was when I told him, you know, people are telling me I'm winding down, and he says, you cannot say that now. I could I could say that about a player that is 35 years old and has averaged 5 games a season for the last 4 years. I could. But I cannot say that about a player that's been averaging 20 to 25 games for the last 10 years, still 35. So I can also say that about a player maybe winding down if you've been the last 3-4 seasons out for 3 months at a time. Okay, injuries is coming. But my longest injury was 2 weeks in the last 4 years. So, and that's the way he put it to me, Andre Arendse. And I will take his opinion, and I will value it because he's a role model to me, and he's proven it. He's proven it at his 37-38 won a league with SuperSport. So, and he was ahead of Dennis Onyango. Dennis Onyango got injured, and he played about 20 games at 38. So I can understand winding down to Dennis Onyango for Cape Town City. So I can be the guy maybe motivating the next player, but I can also be there for you to play whenever you need. And if you need somebody to play for 10, 15 games, you can also have that. So I can understand that way in winding down, but as in winding down, not really. I think I still got a good 2 years of playing on the highest level and competing for now, and then I'll reassess it in 2 years' time, I suppose.
And obviously you just need to look at Buffon, who's probably the best example, at 39 making the Champions League semi-finals recently.
What about our African compadre in Egypt, 44, playing in the final, playing in the semi-final, doing well, saving penalties? The list is endless. I have Oliver Kahn, I have Edwin van der Sar, I have Hans Funk, I have Arthur Bartman. I can carry on. But it's your body. It's the way you fuel your body. It's the way you look after your body. And I feel that I'm on a relatively good level. I think just my genes itself will allow me to. And like Andre himself, even Calvin Marlon is still kicking the ball very hard at what's in our 55, Kelly. So, it's all about you and your body and your situation. But for now, I'm in a very good space. I'm winning things. I'm doing very well. It's more motivation for me. I think had I been in a club that's fighting relegation every year, at now my age, I'd say, look, I can't handle this anymore. The pressure off the field, you need to perform. Then I would also say, I want to retire. But the way I am now, I'm doing well. You're part of a good thing. I still want to experience Africa, which I'm hoping if we win the league, when we win the league, top two, we can go to Africa. I still want to experience that. So for me to be winding down, I don't think so, not now.
So winning games is keeping you young, basically.
It is. Doing well is actually. It's making me younger. I've improved at the Stellenbosch University fitness testing. One of the top, myself and Thabo Nodada. We in the biggest biggest improvement over the last one. So if there was ever immortality, I think I'm there when it comes to the football side. But yeah, it's... I'm enjoying it, and I think being in a good space and doing well plays a big role, and it's proven it now for me.
But obviously with your contract running out, you are allowed to talk to other clubs, and obviously you have proven this season, this past couple of seasons, that you're still on top of the game. Has there been any contact from other clubs? Has there been any interest?
I think what I'm trying to think now mostly and most importantly is to do my talking on the field. Because obviously, if you're in your last 6 months, what you can do now will show people what you're capable of, which can be your future employers, I think. I think that that is why it's a little bit more motivation for me to do extra well, not only for the club, but for myself as well, as to showcase that I'm still there. And not only to show the other clubs, to show my current club. If there was any doubts with whoever, and maybe they're questioning this, questioning that, I have to show them now on the field and on the training ground that you're basically writing a test now. And they have to decide if you're passing or failing that test to get your learners or your license or whatever, and to continue with this club or with the next club. So, like I've always told people before, and I always tell the youngsters this, always train and play like somebody important is watching. And it's proven now as well, even at my age, I have to do that. I have to show and hope that somebody out there is watching that, you know, you it could be my next employer.
Okay, perfect. And then obviously your club recently signed the young Zimbabwean goalkeeper Tatenda Mukuruva, who impressed during the African Cup of Nations. I think it was said by the club that they felt they needed to add depth to the goalkeeping department because the 1 week you and the second option were both injured. But what's your thoughts on the youngster, having him seen in training so far?
Yeah, I think he's someone for the future. I think he's a brilliant shot stopper. I do know that most of African goalkeepers that come into the PSL are going to take about 6 months to a year to adjust, mainly because our conditions are a lot better. We have much better fields, which means we can play. The pitches are not that good, so most of the time it's just kick percentage football. Kick as long as you can, and then you play in there off as quickly as possible. So to play, I think you will, to get the understanding of the game. At that young age, you can be a brilliant shot stopper, but you need to start learning to understand the game. And that's another reason why I feel that I could add value. It's where I look at myself in the future is to help these younger goalkeepers, because if we look at that, our other option, which I would hope one day would take over from me, Samora, has got a lot of talent, but they're going to need that guidance, which I think is lacking now at this present moment, to be honest, at Ajax. You concede 7 goals in 2 games. Who's motivating your goalkeepers? They've never been through that, and the goalkeeper coach is younger than me. No disrespect to Andre Petum, but that is what they lack. They lack an Arthur Bartman, a Hans Funk, a Westerveld that was there to tell them, look here, because me, I know what it comes from to concede goals like that. So I know how to help them. I know how to tell them, oh, look here, this is what you need to do with that. And that is the value that you as a footballer want to give back when you do retire one day, or when you, as they call it now, winding down. So, yes, I just got a bit off topic there. Back on that, on the shot stopper, I think he's somebody for the future, and I think he's got a great potential in front of him.
And you just spoke about the better pitches in the PSL. Would you consider yourself as a ball-playing goalkeeper, and maybe who sort of is your role model in the goalkeeping department?
I remember a stat, the Barcelona goalkeeper, was it beginning of this season, 71 touches, passes in one game, if I'm not mistaken. But role model, Neuer. Because I come from, I couldn't before. For 8 years in the PSL, all I knew was kick long or diagonal balls. And then I bumped into a coach and started working with Muhsin Ertuğrul, which is on another level when it comes to that. We had a similar build-up to Bayern Munich. So I started watching a lot of Neuer and of the way they build up and of the way they play. And it's more advantageous to start building up instead of kicking, because it's 50-50 when you kick. And I started understanding a game, and it made me a lot more comfortable as a ball player. And that's why I would also consider myself a goal player instead of a goalkeeper. And now, yes, I definitely do consider myself as a more playing goalkeeper, where I would like to start all the time from the back.
So maybe you're expecting a call from Pep Guardiola then, who's still looking for playing goalkeeper.
Yeah, but I think Pep took it to another level. Pep wanted that and was willing to sacrifice shot stopping, because the goalkeeper he has now, I think, is maybe a good ball player, but shot stopping, not my favorite at the moment, or good goalkeeper. But to be all honest, and I've never been a South American goalkeeper fanatic or favorite. I'm a European, the way I see them train, the Dutch, the Germans, even the English. I like European way of goalkeeping a lot more. If you're talking about South American, bring me attacking players. I take him in a heartbeat. But goalkeepers, I'll be a little bit more reluctant. So yeah, I think Pep maybe decided because he wanted to play. He could have maybe shot himself in the foot with that one.
And I guess you're not saying you like European goalkeepers more because, you know, I'm from Germany. So.
No. I'm not being biased here. I'm not trying to buy face because I think it was supposed to be the other way around where you were supposed to actually buy face by me. But no, I've always been a big fan from the Oliver Kahn days to the guy that actually committed suicide, if I'm not mistaken. He was the first choice. Yes. I think he jumped in front of the train. Yeah. He was great. I mean, when we played Germany in 2010, he was the goalkeeper. Because I swapped jerseys with Neuer. I was the third choice and Neuer was the third choice that time, yeah. We played them in 2010 in April, just before the World Cup. We played against Germany. No, I lie. I'm lying. This was my first time to Germany. It was 2008 or 2009. I think we played in Düsseldorf, if I'm not mistaken.
We'll look up the stats for you.
Yes, please do. Because, you know, that is where my age is kicking in. Not on the field, but with Alzheimer's, my age is... That is where I know I'm getting old now, but not on the football field. On the football field, I'm still a 25-year-old. Off the field and with my memory, I'm like a 55-year-old. But yeah, it was somewhere along there because I still have a Neuer's jersey there.
But you already started talking now about your Bafana history, and obviously you can look back at a great season. You're on top of the league, made the Sokola Duma Team of the Week for the third time. Do you still dream of getting another call-up from the national side?
I think... Even if a player is 40 years old and is doing well, he will have that aspiration. And you will always have that will. Like when I look at Siyabonga Nombeti, when I was in the World Cup, I think he was 33, 34 at the time, Matthew Booth as well. And as long as they had hope, I mean, they were doing well, there was always hope. That's what Nombeti told me. And me, I will also have that. I know that it will never be the ideal situation. But I do believe that when a national team selects players, it should be a balance of both. It should be a balance of informed players, so you're giving motivation to players that are going to do well. And then you can give, that is how you give them their reward, because they've been consistently well in the club. But you also have to look at it as in you want to start grooming players and building a team. So that's also understandable. But I think there needs to be a balance between the two. So to answer your question, yes, I will. I won't lie. I was a little bit disappointed last season, doing very well for Mpumalanga Black Aces and not getting a call up. But at the end of the days in football, and especially in South African football, you have to leave room for disappointment. That is, it's the nature of the game, and it's just, it's the reality about it. We don't complain, we just carry on working, and we're disappointed inside, but we will never show our frustrations. And so to be honest, yes, there will be that aspiration, and I'll always look at, okay, this one has been selected. Okay, let me look at the games he's played. Okay, yes, he's done well. Yeah, he deserves. Or this guy, okay, he wasn't really consistent. Okay, fine. You know, player X, okay, yes. And I don't only look at it in the goalkeeping department. I look at it in all around. And then we wait afterwards after the announcement and we hear what was the reason. And then we decide from there, okay, no, that's a valid point. Or, okay, I think that's kind of a load of poo or whatever. But fortunate part and the nice part about football, it's a game of opinion and everybody's entitled to it.
But it sounds like you're following, obviously, the Bafana setup quite closely, and now Sheikh Mashaba is out of the job. There's still the saga around his situation. But he's talking to new coaches. There are some big names in the mix, like Hervé Renard, who has done incredibly well on the African continent, winning two AFCON titles. Carlos Queiroz, who was with Bafana previously. Even Roberto Mancini has been named. Do you have like a personal favorite or an opinion on who should be the next Bafana?
I've Zambia 2012, if I'm not mistaken, how's my memory? Yeah, I'm 100% with that one, yes. Because that was in the last 5 years. I can remember those ones. Anything after five, no. Perfect. For cups, perfect coach, I think. For continuity, world to win, I think that is what we lack. We lack somebody that knows what it is to win it. We need somebody that knows what to do, how to plan to win it. We need somebody that Zambia was not the best team at that AFCON, but they won it. They were not the best individual. Sorry, let me rephrase. They were not the best individuals, but they were best team because they've won it. We've got the best individuals, but we don't have the best team. And he will know how to do it, how to change that, I think. I think Chad Leroy, yeah, the French coach, if I'm pronouncing his, also, I think, a good coach. And beginning of this question you asked me, I follow football because I'm passionate about it. I in my off season, in our off break, I was in the UK. I went to watch Liverpool, Man City, Manchester United, Burnley. I went to watch Man City, Burnley, Manchester United, West Ham. Boxing Day game, the 31st and the 2nd. So I will try and watch football all the time because I enjoy it and I follow football. And yeah, I will follow Bafana for as long as I'm a South African. I will. Yeah, that was just to answer that.
Awesome, Shaib. We're almost done. You just want to put you on the spot for three quick PSL questions. Let's see if you're up for it. So the first one is, how many clean sheets have you yourself had this season in the PSL?
We were talking about this. I think I'm on 4.
Spot on. And then talking about conceding goals, do you know which team has conceded the least goals in the PSL season so far?
SuperSport.
Nope. I give you a clue. It's also a team that has played a little less than all the others.
Oh, Sundown. Sorry, I didn't even put Sundowns into this category because of the amount of games they're still behind. So when you talk about that, yeah, they would have been. But if I'm looking at the teams playing around between the 15 and 17 games, is it SuperSport? I think it is. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, you pass.
I thought so. That is how I was doing. Okay.
Okay, and next, to make it 3 out of 3, which team has won the most PSL games this season?
Are we including? Okay, now no, it's not Sundowns because they play the least amount. But SuperSport.
We have to give you a fail for this one because it's actually Cape Town City FC.
We've won the most games.
We've won 9 games, more than any other team.
That's very concerning for me as a player myself, not knowing my own stats. But we did play 2 games more than the others, right? Yeah. Okay.
Thanks for listening. Tune in again next week for another interesting episode.